Once again, a very good morning to everyone, and welcome to New Life BP Church. And we thank God that this morning you can come to witness a very important annual event, which is the enrollment and dedication service of the Boys and the Girls Brigade. And we thank God for the privilege that we can be a part of their lives, the lives of these young boys and girls. Now this morning, message is taken from the scripture reading earlier in Matthew chapter 21. For those who would like to refer to the Bible again on this passage, you may turn to Matthew 21, verses 28 to 32. Let me ask you, how many of you remember this English family comedy or sitcom, Under One Roof? How many remember? Okay, you must be the older generation. Because most of the younger ones, they do not recognize this sitcom as well. Now, this is an English sitcom, very popular, and runs from 1995 to the year 2000. All right? Altogether, I understand there are almost 137 episodes. And it feature a family. The father of the family, Tan Atik. He owns a supermarket. And there are very interesting things that happen in the family, with the neighbors and the friends. So the cast, or the starring, those stars are Moses Lim, Ko Cheng Man, Andrew Lim, Nicholas Lee, Vernetta Lopez. Now the show usually begins, or ends rather, with Tan Atik, Moses Lim, telling a story. For those of you who have watched at Sikkim, you remember, right? He always ends with, long before your time, in the southern province of China. And then goes his story. And at the end of the story, he will pause and ask a question to the listener. And he will say, now, what is the moral of this story? And then there will be some exchanges. Of course, some wrong answers and, you know, things like that. And then he will give them the moral of the story. You know, I think people, young or old, love stories, don't you? I mean, growing up as a child, I think we asked our parents to read stories to us. Bedtime stories and daytime stories, Little Red Riding Hood and many other of those stories. And I remember, now my parents were not literate, unfortunately, so I don't get to listen to bedtime stories when I was young, but when my kids were young, we read stories to them at bedtime, and I'm sure some of you parents do the same. Now, the Lord Jesus is a master teacher, and he uses parables or stories of everyday life to teach people spiritual truths and realities. In today's passage, we have a tale of two sons. And I can put it like this, long before our time, in the land of Palestine, there lived a unique man by the name of Jesus Christ, who told his disciples the tale of two sons. What is this tale all about, and what can we learn from it? Well, first, let's look at the story, and let me retell it in simpler terms. The story goes this way. But what do you think? Jesus asks his listeners. His listeners are the disciples, including the Pharisees and those people who were gathered to hear him. He says, but what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Now, vineyards take constant attention to bring the grapes to harvest. And this man thought surely his son would be eager to keep the vineyard in good condition. This belongs to them, you know, their family. However, the response of the first son was this. He replied or answered and said, "I will not." A very direct defiance of his father's, request. But afterward, he regretted. He regretted it and he went. Went where? Went to work in the vineyard, as he was told. So initially, there was defiance. Later, there was repentance. And he went and worked in the vineyard. So for whatever reason, the son first refused. But as he thought about it, it weighed upon his conscience until finally he went into the fields and he did what he should be doing as a son. Then the father came to the second son and said likewise, and he answered and said, "I go, sir." But did he do it? No. He only said, "I will go and work in the vineyard." But he did not. So this son was just being agreeable. Okay, Dad, I will. But he had no intention of going to work. However, he did not say so as the first son. And I think we all encounter situations like this time and time again, isn't it? There are some people, we tell them, do this. They say right in front of you, no. Very defiantly. Then later, they regretted and they followed your instructions. There's also this situation you tell, you know, your children or the boys or the girls, you know, the teachers and the officers tell them, do this. And some of them say, okay, I will. But they left it undone. So these are very common scenarios that we face in life, isn't it? So the question Jesus puts to his listeners is this. Which of the two did the will of his father? Which of the two? The first or the second? First son, second son, boys, girls? First or second? You say, Pastor Gan, this is a no-brainer. Come on. It's so easy. I wish all my O-level exam questions were like this. We will all get A's, you know. It's such a simple question, isn't it? Which of the two did the will of the father? And they answered him, the first. Obviously. Although the first say, no, I will not. But he actually did regret and finish his work in the vineyard, isn't it? So that is the right answer. And Jesus said to them, who gave the answer, assuredly I say to you that the tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. What does Jesus mean by that? Well, he asked them, who did the will of the Father? And they replied, the first. And they were correct. And his response to their answer was, assuredly, I say to you that the tax collectors and harlots or prostitutes enter the kingdom of God before you. What does he mean by saying that? Well, to get the answer, we need to consider the setting which provides the clue. So let's look at the setting. In verse 32 of Matthew 21, the Lord Jesus provides the logic underlying his explanation of the parable. He said to them, "For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you did not afterward relent and believe him." So you say the first question was a no-brainer, but the second question is difficult, isn't it, to answer? But the clue is here. What does Jesus mean? Well, what he meant by that is that God had provided, given an invitation to the Jewish leaders in the preaching of John the Baptist. John came in the way of righteousness, means John preached, all right, the message of righteousness, which is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And yet, the Jewish leaders did not believe John the Baptist, whom they looked up to as a prophet of God. So they had more light than the lower caste of society, and yet they were less responsive to the light given to them than the outcasts to them, which are the harlots and so forth. So the tax collectors and harlots, on the other hand, responded to John's message. And the connection between John the Baptist and Jesus is such that those who reject John and his message also reject Jesus. Now, this is a very pointed story, because Jesus is saying something through the story about the religious rulers. And they got his point finally, which later on, which we did not read on, they became very upset and angry with Jesus and began to plot his death. So what is the significance? What is the moral of the story? Well, the significance is, first of all, that the second son, who said he would obey his father, did not actually do it, represents the chief priest, and elders. All right? So the second son say, "I will, sir," but he did not do it. So this second son represents the religious leaders of the Jews. They had a reputation for being God's servants, but they rejected his prophets and Jesus, their Messiah. Remember in John chapter 1, the scripture tells us there in verse 12 that he came unto his own, but his own received him not. Jesus, the Messiah, came to his own people, the Jews, the Israelites, but they rejected the Savior. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the children of God. And that represents the first son. The first son who rejected his father's command, but later did what his father wanted, represents the tax collectors and the prostitutes who have been in rebellion against God's standards, but who in many instances repented of their particular sins and came to believe in the Messiah, Jesus. So this is what the two sons, who the two sons represent. So what is the point? The point is this: being religious is not enough. There must be genuine, heartfelt devotion to the will of God. There must be genuine heart devotion to the will of God. This is, as we can say, sum up the moral of the story. Because Jesus reminds his disciples in chapter 7 of the same gospel, in verse 21, he says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." So not everyone who say, "Hey, I'm a Christian," they put down in their form when they apply for a job or they go to a school and they fill up their particulars and they say, "Christian, Christian, Christian." Not everyone who say they are Christians, Jesus say, is really one. Only those who does the will of my Father in heaven. So what are the lessons that we can take away from this short, simple story of the tale of two sons? Well, first I want to suggest a few lessons, and the first is the case of the second son. Now take the case of the second son. He said, "I will, sir," but did not go to the vineyard. Now a person might reason from this that Jesus suggested it is improper to make promises to God, since we may not keep them. So he might conclude from this story I will make no promises, I will make no profession of faith or discipleship. Now that would be wrong, because that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus, in fact, is not against profession. That means proclaiming, saying that I'm a Christian, or things like that. On the contrary, the Bible links profession to true belief in Jesus. For example, Romans 10, 9 to 10 says that if you confess with your mouth, that is profession, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So Jesus is not against profession, but he wants that profession to match with true belief in our heart. You see? So your profession of faith must match your heart belief. Next lesson. So what Jesus denounced, rather, is an insincere profession. The profession of one who cries, Lord, Lord, but who does not do what Jesus say. All right, so he's not against true profession, he's against insincere profession. So are you in that category? Is an application for us to reflect on this morning. Are you in the category of the second son? Who say, I will, sir, but you did not do what God commands you to do or instruct you to do. It is not enough for you and I to say that we attend church regularly, we serve actively, or even that you are an elder, a deacon, or a minister of the gospel. It's not enough just to say that. You can even do all those things and still be disobedient to God, just as the religious leaders in Israel were. So that is the first lesson for us. Secondly, there's also the case of the other son, who said no to his father initially, but afterward repented of his disobedience. Now, do not think that Jesus approved of his initial disobedience. I mention his early disobedience because people today, often young people, think that it is all right for them to go their own way as long as they go God's way at some later point in their life. And this is particularly true of some who grow up in Christian families. All right? So you might think from this story, you can do what the first son does. Well, I will disobey initially. Later on, later in my life, I will return back to God. Now, that is not what Jesus is teaching at all. You may want to have your fun now, and you say, I will serve God later in my life. Do you know that this logic is flawed for a few reasons? Firstly, by then, later on, is what I mean. You may be too old to be of much use to God, or when the opportunities for sound preparation have already passed you by. Too late. In other words, it may be too late, you see, for that to happen. Granted, it is better for these young people to sin now and repent later than for them to sin now and not repent at all. Now, granted, this is better, right? However, the best way, young people, is to come to Christ early and serve him both early and late. Not later, both early and late. So it is best to give your entire life to the service of the King of Kings. Besides, if you delay now, you have no guarantee that you will be able to come to Jesus later. No guarantee at all. Therefore, I urge you, do not procrastinate. Because the only safe thing is to give prompt and sincere obedience to God's call. And this is what God expects of his children, prompt obedience. Doing the will of God, and I close with this final point, if you forget everything I said earlier, but I think you'll remember the story, because story kind of, you know, easy to capture. But if you forget all the two lessons I've just mentioned, remember this final point. Doing the will of the Father or God is more than simply a matter of words. It is always a matter of deeds. It is one thing to say one does or will not do the will of the Father. It is another thing to actually do it. Words alone mean nothing. Isn't that true generally? Words alone mean nothing. You can promise the world. You know, a young man can promise a young woman, I'll pick up the star from the sky above and give it to you. Yeah, you can promise the the world. But can you actually do it? Is the other side of it. So words alone mean nothing. And we all are familiar with, you know, the acronym NATO, right? Well, I know it stands for, what it stands for? I forgot what it stands for because I was thinking of the other meaning. The other meaning I was thinking of is no action, talk only. Yeah, no action, talk only. So God is not interested in NATO. No action, talk only. But what is the will of God for all mankind? You say doing the will of God is more important than simply a matter of words. It's always a matter of deeds. So perhaps some of you say, yes, Pastor Gan, I want to do the will of God, but what is the will of God? How do I know the will of God? Well, I'm glad you asked this question. There are only two things that I think are very important for two categories of people in the world. First of all, for all mankind. What is God's will for all mankind? God's will for all mankind, according to the Bible, is that they trust in the Lord Jesus, who died for their sins and rose again to save them and to give them eternal life. That is his will for all mankind. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is his will for all mankind. And Acts 16:31 invites all mankind to believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the wrath of God. And to have your sins forgiven and to receive eternal life. So that is his will for all mankind. And now, what is God's will for believers? You say, Pastor, I've already trusted Christ as my Savior, but what is his will for me? Well, not to be simplistic, and I cannot apply every different situations. I just want to make a general statement. God's will for all believers is that we be doers of his word, not hearers only. So if the Bible is clear about certain teaching and instruction for you believers to carry out, you must not only be hearers and like the second son, okay, I will, but 1 year in, 1 year out, never carry out the will of God. So his will is that we be doers of his word. So may God help us to do his will and not say only. So in conclusion, my dear hearers and friends, which son are you? Saying versus doing. Which son in the story represents you? May God speak to your hearts. Let us bow forward a prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we acknowledge that oftentimes, even as your children, we are like the second son. We not approvingly, when we hear the preaching of your word, when we do our Bible study or read the Bible in our devotions, but we do not carry out what you want us to do. And we fail to please you and glorify you in that regard. Please help us, O God, to be prompt in our obedience to your commandments. And may each of your children here be willing to make time and sacrifice so that they can fulfill the great commandment to love you, O God, with the whole of our being, and also to fulfill the great commission, which is to go and preach the gospel to every creature. Help us to carry them out in actions and not only in words. And I pray that, Lord, you may also speak to others in our midst here with regards to your will for all mankind. May they come to a saving knowledge and a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We commit the rest of the enrollment and dedication service into your hands. And we pray that, O God, you will look down from heaven and grant a special blessing to everyone who is present here this morning, even all our guests. For we ask these things in the Lord Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much for your kind attention.